Ferris B'nai Torah presents The Shmoozed, an engaging and motivating Mussar and Hashkafa series that deals with real-life issues.
Parsha Vayera opens up with an unusual series of events, and just studying some of the details of it can be very helpful in us understanding the Torah's approach to life. The pasuk begins, Vayisa Eina Vayar, Avram Avinu lifted up his eyes and he saw, V'nei Shlosha Anoshim, three men, Nitzavim Alav, there were three men standing. He lifted up his eyes and far away on the horizon, he saw three men standing there waiting. Vayar, he saw, Vayar, it's Lekrosim, Avram ran out to greet them, Mipesach Ha'ol, from the gate of his tent, Vayishtachavu Arza, and he bowed down to them. Now, Rashi is bothered by the word Vayar being repeated in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Avram Avinu lifted up his eyes and he saw on the horizon these three men. Then the Pasuk repeats, and he saw. What do you mean, a second time, and he saw? Says Rashi, Ma'ava Yira Beis Pamim. What does this refer to? Harishon Kimashmo. The first time he saw means simply, as the words read, he saw the three men standing there. Vasheni, the second time when the Pasuk says, Vayar, he saw, Lashon Havana, it means he understood. Nistakel, he saw Shayu Nitzavim B'makom Echad, he saw these three men standing in their place. Vehavin, he understood Shalu Rotzim Latricho, he understood that they were waiting there, not wanting to bother him. Why did they stand on the horizon? Why did they stand a distance away from his tent? Because he saw that they wanted not to trouble him, they wanted him not to have to be Matriach, therefore they stayed there. Even though those men knew that Avram would go out to greet them, they stood in their place, to treat him with honor, and to show him, to show him this point, that they didn't want to bother him. When he saw that, he ran out to greet them. So very clearly, Rashi is saying there's a little bit of a complexity over here. The three men come. They want to demonstrate to Avram, we don't want to trouble you. We don't want to bother you. Even though they were fully aware that when they would do that, he would run out to them, they still nevertheless did that because they wanted to show him the honor, they wanted to give him covered, and they wanted to show him that we don't want to trouble you. And that's how Rashi explains the double vayar. And the problem with this Rashi, I think, is rather obvious, and that is that it doesn't seem like a very nice thing to do. Avram Avinu is 99 years old. He's the third day of his bris milah. He's old, he's sick, he's in pain, and he's very, very uncomfortable. These three malachim knew that because one of them had the job, l'rapos es Avram. One of the jobs of one of the angels was to give him a refuah. So clearly they understood what was going on. They understood that here's an old man, a sick man, the third day after his bris milah. They understood if they wait there, he's going to run out to them. Nevertheless, they did that because they wanted to give him the kavod. As they say, where I come from, do me a favor, don't do me any favors. It doesn't seem like a very nice thing to do. Granted, you're giving Avram honor, but you're causing him pain, you're causing him discomfort, maybe even jeopardizing his health, an old man to have to run out in the heat of the day. It would sound a lot more sensible to just come forward, do what you're supposed to, and not bother Avram to have to run after you. And I'd like to see this evening if we could understand why it is that the Malachim stopped to give him honor despite the fact that they realized that it would cause him pain. And to do this, I'd like to spend just a few minutes on what I'd call the rest of the story. Just simple chumash. Simply understanding the events of Vayera and seeing if we could get a better understanding of exactly what's going on. The very first pasuk before this one starts with the following words. Vayera alav Hashem be'elonei mamre. Hashem appeared to Avram in Elon Mamre. V'yoshiv pesach ha'ol k'chol mayom. Avram is sitting in the tent in the heat of the day. Rashi is bothered by why do we have to know that he's sitting at the opening of the tent. Rashi explains that he was sitting there to see if there were overi durachim. Are there any passerbys? Is there anybody that I could help, that I could bring into my tent? He's sitting at the mouth of the oel. Why is it that the pasuk tells us kechol mayom that it was very hot? Why do we need that? It seems to be an irrelevant point. And Rashi explains it's not irrelevant at all. Says Rashi, Hotzia Kadosh Baruch Hu Kama Minakaseh. Hashem took the sun out of its normal orbit. Hashem recognized that there's an old man, Avram, who is a tremendous machnes archim. He is a person who waits at the gate, waits at the mouth of his oel to bring people in. He's also an old man. He's also going to have a lot of tircha. He's in the third day of his milah, and Hashem did not want him to be machnes orchim. Hashem did not want him to bring in guests. Why? Because it was dangerous, certainly causing him pain, and therefore Hashem made a miracle. Hashem literally changed the course of the sun. Typically, the sun is at a certain distance, at a certain angle. Hashem changed it so it should be unusually hot. So hot that there should be no ovri derachim, there should be no passerbys. Avram is sitting at the mouth of the oel with no one coming there. And amazingly, Avram Avinu befuddled, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thwarted Hashem's plan, because apparently what happened was he had so much pain by the fact that he had no one to serve, no one to help, that caused him more pain and anguish than had he been running around helping people. And therefore, if it could be, Hashem's plan was undone. Hashem made it hot so no one should bother him. He had more pain not being able to serve anybody than had he run around. Therefore, Hashem sent the malachim, sent those angels in the guise of men to allow Avram Avinu to serve someone else. And it's an interesting illustration of what we'll get to in a moment, something called Avas Chesed, a love to help. But let's proceed. He runs from the Pesach HaOel. The Pesach says, from the opening of the tent, he runs out all the way to the horizon. The Sfuno is bothered by the obvious problem, not only why is he running that distance, but why do we need to know that? And the Sfuno says that's exactly part of the lesson the Torah is trying to teach us. Kiazrizus ladover, the alacrity, shows the chashivas. See, he didn't want those men to just be welcomed guests. He wanted to show them the honor that they were welcome guests. So he began running out to them to welcome them in. He finally gets to them and he says the words, Vayomer Adonai im namasasi chem benecha al natavar melavdecha. He bows down full to the ground and says, my master, please do not pass from your servant. Take a little chema v'chalav, take some butter, take some milk, take some calf that I'm going to give for you, and sit under the eitz that I'm going to make for you. Now there's a Rashi here that's very telling. If you look carefully in the pasuk, there are a few extra words. Avram ran to the bakar, vayikach ben bakar rach v'tov. After he brings these men to the tree, he gives them water to wash their feet, he brings them something to drink, he runs to the bakar, he runs to the cattle to slaughter a cattle. But the pasuk says, vayikach ben bakar rach v'tov, three expressions. Now for those of you who saw this week's Shmuz Views, you may be familiar with this, but Rashi explains why is the Torah using three expressions to tell us that Avram Avinu did not slaughter a cow for these honored guests. He slaughtered three cows. Why three cows? Because he wanted to serve them tongue dipped in mustard. Now, you may be bothered by the problem that the tongue of a cow is rather large, and no matter how much these men are going to eat, you could surely shecht one cow and it'll suffice, the tongue of one cow will suffice for the three men. And still, how did you answer the question? Why do you need all three? So Siftei Chachamim explains. And ladies, please pay careful attention to this. He says as follows. The tip of the tongue is soft. The middle is fatty. And the back has varied textures. Now, you may not have known that. I certainly didn't know that until I saw the Siftei. But the Siftei Chachamim is explaining that Avram Avinu had the following intention in mind. He wanted each guest to be able to eat from whichever part they particularly liked. He was afraid that if all three liked the tip, that may not be enough. If all three liked the back part, that might not be enough. So therefore, he slaughtered three cows to be assured that these honored guests would have enough to eat. Now, forget what do you do with the leftovers in the desert. I have a much simpler observation to make on this Rashi. And that is as follows. I did not know the difference between the tip of the tongue nor the back of the tongue before I read that Siftei Chachamim. I'd be hard-pressed to believe that Avram Avinu was a hedonist. He was a connoisseur of the worldly pleasures and, you know, went to culinary school to study the differences. In fact, I'd be willing to bet you that he was living on a totally different plane where physical pleasures were almost irrelevant. And you may wonder, for such a man to notice the difference, be matriach himself, bother himself to shecht three cows specifically so each of his honored guests should have the segment that they want, you may wonder, how is it possible that the man had that focus? And I think as we focus on this particular point, I think we'll get a better understanding of how it is that Avram Avinu did chesed. But before we do that, I want to bring up one more point. We're all familiar with the fact that these angels, in the guise of men, did something that arguably they shouldn't have done. They ate basar v'chalav. They ate meat and milk. Many years later, when Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to tell the Malachim why the Torah is not for them, he said to him, "Don't you remember some hundreds of years earlier, you ate milk and meat in Avram Avinu's tent?" Now, why the Malachim ate? I guess because it's Derech Eretz, it's only appropriate, it's proper, someone feeds you. Even though you're not the type of being that eats, you want to show Derech Eretz, I understand that. But why did Avram Avinu serve them meat and milk? He kept kashrus. In fact, he kept every diktuk, every precision in every mitzvah to extents that we don't keep now. And you'd imagine that his kalim were separate, his knives were separate, his plates were separate. Couldn't he have sufficed to offer them whatever it may be, either meat or milk or bread or whatever it may be? Why specifically meat and milk? And I think the answer is just illustrative of the way this man did chesed. And that was, it didn't matter what was important to him, it mattered what was important to his guests. And he assumed that these people, certainly there were no Jews in a sense that we know, there was no Torah in that time, there were no halachas of basar v'chalav. I'd imagine therefore basar v'chalav has some innate taste that's particularly enjoyable. He served them because he assumed that's what they wanted. But let's go on a little bit and we're going to tie this in to see if we can get a better understanding. He takes the chem of a chalav and the bimbokar that he made, he puts it in front of him and he's omeid aleihem tachas ha'etz. He stands over them while they're eating. Now my friends, I want you to understand that Avram Avinu at this stage of his life is not just an older man, he's extraordinarily famous. He's known throughout the world. Many years earlier, there was a major war with the five kings fighting the four kings. His nephew Lot was captured. He went out with his 318 students and conquered the powers that be in the world. He was effectively emperor of the earth. A very, very powerful man, extraordinarily wealthy, hundreds of students, arguably hundreds of avodim. He had a tremendous entourage. He sits there and not only does he himself run out, he bends down full down face in the ground. "Please do not pass your master. Shech these three cows, offer him basar v'chalav." And who did he think he was serving? And this point is a very, very significant point. We are reasonably selective in our chesed. When we have someone who comes to the door who's a very important person, we put out the red carpet and we're very careful in the way we act. Unfortunately, when Mishulachim come to the door, I don't know if we quite give them the same honor. These people, in Avram Zavinu's eyes, were not illustrious. As a matter of fact, Rashi makes a very important point. The very first thing he says to them is, "Yukach na ma'amayim, take a little water, v'rachatzu raglechem, wash your feet." Why is he bothering to tell them to wash their feet? So Rashi explains that he assumed that they were Arabs who worshipped the sand upon which they walked. He was makbid. He did not want to bring avodah zarah. He didn't want to bring idols into his house. Since they worshipped the sand, he asked them, "Wash your feet, so that avodah zarah should not come into his tent." Meaning, in his mind, these were not great individuals. These were not holy people. They were Arabs who walked the sand dunes of the desert, simple people, ovdei avodah zarah, not at all what you'd call very, very classy, very distinguished, very important people, and this is the way he treated them. But here's what I consider the most important point of all. If CNN came down and said, "You know, we want to do a study. There's a lot of talk now, there's anti-Semitism, the Arab-Israeli conflict, and we feel that Orthodox Jews are not being given their due coverage. We'd like to select one individual and we're going to spend a day filming you. Now we'll pick one guy, David." And what we're going to do is, they say, CNN says, "We're going to film a day in the life of David." Now David understands that at 6:30 a.m. the CNN cameras are going to be rolling. You had better believe his behavior is going to be perfect. His hair is going to be perfect. His demeanor is going to be illustrious, and he's going to be noble the whole day because his every action is being weighed, measured, and watched by the world. We For thousands of years, the Jewish people have read about these acts of Avraham Avinu every week in Shul on Shabbos. We discuss them, we know them, but that's something that Avraham Avinu didn't know. This was not a red-letter day in Avraham Avinu's life. This was a regular day in his life. As a matter of fact, a rather bad day. It was a day when he was in pain and discomfort. If you've ever been in pain, you break your arm or you have an operation, typically we get very grouchy. It's not our best behavior. This is not a special day. It's a regular day in the life of Avraham. And there's a point that many of them before should make. Why is it that the Torah is so lengthy in telling us each detail? To let us know who the man was. To let us know that this was the man, regular day, every day, day in and day out. It happens to be that these events were to bring about a certain future, therefore the Torah recorded them, but this is typical of the man. And here's a question that we asked in an earlier shmooz, and that question is, didn't Avraham Avinu have better things to do with his time than this? Hundreds of servants, hundreds of students, very, very wealthy. You'd imagine as the progenitor of the Jewish people, as the teacher of the Klai Yisrael and all of his students, he could find many other people to do this work for him. There are many other people who could do the Hachnasas Arachim, yet Avraham Avinu felt that this was what he should be doing. And the question is, why? Of all the things that he could be spending his time, if apparently he spent a good deal of his time doing this, why did Avraham Avinu feel that this was what he should be doing? And I think the answer to this question is profound and will help us understand this whole sugya. And that answer is that when Hashem placed us on this planet, Hashem put us on the planet to grow. The measure of all perfection is how much a human can be doma, can be like Hashem. If you'd like to know the midah, the measure with which Hashem created the world and runs the world, it's the midah of chesed, it's the midah of kindliness, of giving. If you want to relate to Hashem, you have to teach yourself to see the chesed of Hashem, because that's the whole world, and that's the whole way Hashem created the world. What Avraham Avinu was doing was being doma to his creator, emulating his creator. When he studied the world and he studied all of the features and he studied the fact that God created the human specifically to give of his kindliness, and God created all of the features of this world so that we should enjoy our short stay on this planet so that we can become for eternity what we will be. When he studied that, he saw the chesed of Hashem. And he also understood the greatness of the human is to be domet Hashem, to be like Hashem, and that's exactly what he was doing. Bowing down, serving, helping. What could I do to serve you? There's no burden too difficult. There's nothing that's too demanding. What could I do? Because Avraham was a meitiv, he was a giver, because that's how he related to Hashem, that's how he saw Hashem. He was reaching perfection as an Eved Hashem. And it's very illustrative to note that the Altar says there are many other things that Avraham Avinu did that are not mentioned in the Torah. The Kivshan Ha'esh was a major Nisayan. Nimrod said to him, who do you believe in? And Avraham said, I believe in God, the creator of heavens and earth. Nimrod said, I believe in fire. We'll see who's greater. And the Medrash tells us that in front of the entire town, Avraham Avinu walked into a fiery furnace and walked out unscathed, untouched. That is a major miracle. That is something that surely we could benefit from. The Emunah, the Betochen, is something we could learn from. And the Alta says, you'll note that it's absent from the Torah. No mention, just a clue somewhere from the words Me'or Kazdim. And the Alta is bothered by why not mention it. And the Alta explains very clearly, he says, because the Torah is very, very brief and can only write those things that are of such major significance that they have to be told. And then the Alta says, but note how many psukim are written about the way he bowed down, the type of animal he shechted, the way he prepared the food. And says the Alta, what the Torah is teaching us is the significance, how central chesed, how central loving chesed, how central being a meitiv is to the religion. And therefore the Torah goes out of its way to mention this at length, because these points can't be skipped, unlike Or Kazdim, too important, too significant. And that really is something we focus on in previous Shmuz, Shmuz number 71, for those who remember from back then, Chesed of Avraham, and I think that's a very important point. But I'd like to take one more step here that I think is very, very telling. And that step is by analyzing carefully the words of Pasuk Gimel. The Pasuk says, Vayomer ad Hashem, inam asasichem b'necha al na tavar me'alavdecha. The Pasuk uses a word which could either mean my master, or could be referring to God. And Rashi brings down two pshatim. The first pshat is that Avram bowed down to the greatest of the people there and said, please do not pass by your servant. And then Rashi brings down the other pshat, that's brought in the Gemara, that actually what was happening was he was speaking to Ad Hashem, he was speaking to God. You see, the first pasuk told us that Hashem was speaking to Avram. Avram Avinu was sick, Hashem came to be Mevakeh Chola, and this was an experience of his lifetime. God Himself, the Creator of heavens and earth, was visiting Avram, and Avram was in a state of ecstasy, a state of nevuah, relating directly to Hashem. In that moment, in that interchange back and forth, he looks up, sees the three men standing there, and says, Alna, please Hashem, do not pass. I have a mitzvah to do. I have achnosas orchim. Please do not pass. Please wait. Please be here when I come back. And if you wonder, is that appropriate to tell God to please wait? I got a mitzvah to do. I mean, after all, this is, you know, it's Hashem, you know. He probably knows what you should do and shouldn't do. The Gemara learns out that not only is he right, the Gemara says that's the halacha. Godol hachnosas orchim, greeting guests is greater, says the Gemara, than Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, than greeting Hashem. From Avram Avinu, not only was he correct, the Gemara paskins based on this, that he, that's the halacha. And if you want an illustration of something, you have to sort of climb into your own world to feel this. Now, if your world is sports, so imagine that you're having a conversation with Michael Jordan or Michael Phelps. If your world is business, imagine you're having a private conversation with Bill Gates. If your world is politics, you and President Bush are discussing something right there. The ultimate moment you've been waiting for years and years is right then happening. Three mushalachim come knocking on your door. Mr. President, I hope you excuse me, I got a mitzvah to do. Forget whether it's right or wrong. Do you appreciate what the nesayin is? This is a moment that Avram Avinu pined for, waited for years. This is a man whose whole existence is to serve his Creator, and his whole existence is to experience his Creator. And in this moment, Hashem reveals himself to Avram. This is the peak moment of his existence. And he's willing to give that up because Hashem, you have to excuse me, I have a mitzvah to do. And this really is a step beyond avas chesed, a step beyond loving another person, a step beyond giving. And I think understanding what this is something that requires a bit more depth. And to do that, I'd like to share with you an interesting thought. I remember very vividly in the year 2000, when President Clinton was gathered, the UN had gathered together the Summit of World Leaders. Now, keep in mind, as a president of the United States of America, you are the center of the world. Cabinet ministers will give anything to have the ear of the president, and needless to say, anyone in the country to be able to have actual access to the president is considered an unbelievable opportunity. People become super arrogant if they have the ear of the president for any length of time. The president of the United States of America is the center of the world. And there was something so unique about the summit meeting that really shook me. Because when the summit meeting convened, they took a picture of the 149 world leaders. And I looked, and I couldn't see President Clinton. Where? Oh yeah, there you are in the back row. Oh yeah, oh, there you are, little guy over there. You see, one out of 149 is not the center of the world. You're one of 149 world leaders. And I found it very, very interesting to note how quickly, when the world became bigger, he became smaller. And I think that concept has some real relevance to us. I daven Shemona Esrei on a regular basis. We all stand in front of our Creator, and we make various requests, various petitions to the Creator of the heavens and earth. You and I are not the only human beings occupying this planet. If there are 100 people in this room, and there are a few million in the city, and there are 6 billion who occupy the planet, I am but one of 6 billion people on this planet. Yet I take it as a given, as a granted, that I will converse with my Creator, and my Creator will listen, will actually care, and may well intercede on my behalf for whatever it is that I need. And the only thing I'm worried about is, am I actually going to have kavana? Am I actually going to pay attention in davening or not? But it's a given that if I actually wake up and daven, of course Hashem is listening, and of course Hashem cares. And my friends, that concept is absolutely correct, dead on. Chazal tell it to us all the time, every time, that when a person davens, Hashem hears, right there, listens. Not always will Hashem grant you that, because it may not always be for your good. There may be many other cheshbonos, many other calculations, but the bottom line is, Hashem listens, Hashem cares, Hashem is right there. And that concept is a very, very eye-opening concept, because at the end of the day, mi ani uma ani, who am I? A mortal, flesh and blood, here today, gone tomorrow, one of 6 billion, so powerless, so insignificant. And if you're not quite sure, take a little step away from the earth. View the earth from the moon and tell me, oh, great man over there, how not even the size of a pin. You can't even see a human being from the moon, because so teeny, so tiny, and God occupies 13 billion light years of expanse known as the universe. And yet, each human being counts, each human being is dealt with, and each human being Hashem cares about. And my friends, that concept is a very, very powerful concept. And that concept is that when Hashem engages in what we know as Hashgacha Pratis, and divine intervention, what that means is that human being is exceedingly important. It's not that God cares about teeny, insignificant details. It's that that human being is greatly significant, amazingly important. That the Creator of the heavens and the earth and all that it contains will listen, will care, will get involved in that person's life is the greatest illustration of the significance and importance of that person. And that's something that Avraham Avinu experienced not every once in a while, but on a daily basis. You see, he lived with Hashgacha Pratis. He lived with God's divine intervention. He understood that God is the Creator of the heavens and earth. God orchestrates this earth. And God is directly involved in everything in his life. And because he davened to Hashem, and because he experienced that, he saw something on a daily basis that Hashem actually cared about him. What do you mean Hashem cares about me? I'm a little insignificant, little pawn, a puppet, one out of thousands of millions, maybe of billions. But the answer is that's false. If God cares, what that means is the human is so important, so significant, that Hashem will actually stop, take care of that person. And that lesson that Avraham Avinu learned from that was a very simple one. And that is the importance of a human, and that's exactly why Avraham Avinu ran out. When he saw three people on the horizon, oh my goodness, human beings, created in the Tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem, I have to run out and greet them. Not only because of Avas Chesed, not only because he wants to share, he's a mitiv, he's a giver, but because that's the honor due. And as the Sforno says, he starts running from the Pesach, from the opening, because he has to show them the honor. And then he runs while he does every activity to show them the honor due to a human. Because that's what Avraham Avinu experienced from Hashem. He recognized that as the mid of Hashem. And what he was doing was emulating the way Hashem acts with the human. And what he was doing was perfecting himself. My friends, I believe that that's exactly what the Malachim were doing with Avram. When they stood on the horizon, they understood full well that they would be causing pain to this person, but how could we not treat him with kavod? How could we not give him the honor due to a human created in the image of God? And they understood that despite the fact it would cause him pain, he would run out. They have to give him honor because this is the image of Hashem. This is the most important creation of all the creations. It's man. And they recognized, therefore, they had to give him honor, and they felt they had to give him just kavod. My friends, this is a very big deal concept. You see, there are two themes that a person can work on in Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. The one we're very familiar with is the Ahavta L'Rechaka Kamocha, loving your friend like yourself, training ourselves to do chesed, looking for the good of a person. But it's a very, very hard thing to do. At the end of the day, we human beings were created, born selfish. If you've held a baby for any longer than about 30 seconds, you recognize the baby only recognizes its own needs, only can relate to its needs. The baby is incapable of recognizing others and certainly incapable of giving. The human at birth is utterly, completely selfish. Halavai, as we grow, we learn slowly, slowly to be other-centered, but it's a very, very long, arduous task, and it takes a long time. This system is a whole lot quicker and a whole lot more assured that you'll come to better Binat Mechaveru. And that is a single concept. If I train my eye to see a human as the Torah sees a human, if I see a human and say, wow, that's the image of Hashem, do you know the honor, the kavod due to that person? That's a human. How could I ever treat that person with the honor due if I'd spend my life imagining I couldn't, because I see the honor Hashem treats me with, and I read about men like Avram, and I understand, and therefore this human being I stand in awe of, and I must do whatever I can to give them the kavod and honor. And my friends, that system is a whole lot easier to acquire, a whole lot easier to work on than ve'avtaracha kamocha, because it's more natural, it's easy to acquire, and it really makes it a whole lot simpler. However, usually we think that that's a secondary system, as in, you know, it's good, but it's not really where the action's at. I mean, could you imagine if a Jew could actually say the words, I love another human being like myself? Could you imagine the heights that they would reach? Could you imagine if I could really feel somebody else's pain like my pain and want to share in their joy? That would be the height of greatness. I'd like to share with you something that my Rebbe the Reshiva said over many, many times. There's a Das HaKenim who brings both of these systems. He says there are two entrance ways to between man and man, between Adam and Chaveru. One is V'haftarach HaKamocha, loving your friend like yourself. The other is the fact that Hashem created the man in the image of Hashem. And he brings down in the name of Ben Azai that understanding that the human was created in the image of Hashem will take a person further in their Ben Adam HaChaveru than will V'haftarach HaKamocha. And the Das HaKenim explains why. You see, if I love you like myself, I'll treat you just as well as I'll treat myself. But the truth is that most of us don't really understand the true value of the human. We don't understand our real potential, and we don't understand what we're really worth. So granted, I'll treat you just as well as I'll treat me, but I don't really get it in terms of my value, my importance, and I'm not going to treat you anywhere near the honor due. Says Ben Azai, if you think about one concept, this is a Tzelem Elokim, created in the image of Hashem, that will propel you to much greater heights in terms of Ben Adam L'Chaveru. Why? Because forget what is important to me, forget my world, this is an image of Hashem, what could I ever do, how could I ever help this person, how could I ever do enough for this person? Now, I don't know why this is, but every once in a while I think Hashem wants me to say a particular shmooze. Because this Shabbos, my wife said to me the following words. She said, I shudder what we're going to answer in Shemayim for the way we treat Mishalachim. She said those words. I shudder when I think of how we're going to answer in Shemayim for the way we treat Mishalachim. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not coarse. We're not base individuals. But I suspect, like everyone, you know, busy, you know, we're all very involved, and there are many, many a time when either I'm speaking to someone, or maybe I'm playing with my kids, or I'm learning, and then someone comes to the door, one after another, and finally, I'll ask one of my kids, do me a favor, take out money to the Mishalach, take out money, please take care of them. And when my wife said these words to me, I realized that there was a profound point she was making. And this very Sunday, after she said it on Shabbos, I came home and I did tshuva. Now, I don't know if the Mishalachim was sniffing it out, but the doorbell did not stop. Person after person, and you can ask my brother-in-law who was there, they came and I won almost everyone. Every person who came, I got up from what I was doing. I offered them a drink. Can I help you? They didn't get big checks. Don't get me wrong about that. You know, and I still checked very carefully the date and the letter and etc. But the bottom line is, it was a very different sort of way that I greeted them. And I realized what my wife was saying was absolutely correct. We become so busy, we become cavalier and cease to understand what it is we're doing. Avram Avinu, I guarantee, was busier than you and I. And yet, he took time to do this. And the point of this message is not about how to treat a mashulach alone. That's not really the point. The point is how to treat a human. How to deal with a human being. Tall, short, big, little, young, old, a human being is created in the image of Hashem, and that requires me to act appropriately. And act appropriately means act like I'm talking to the image of Hashem, and that concept is profound because it affects all of our relationships, affects everything we do. But there's another significant difference between V'ahavta Racha Kamocha and Tzelem Elokim. V'ahavta Racha Kamocha starts from the inside and spreads out. Tzelem Elokim starts from the outside and spreads in. I'll explain to you what I mean. I've heard it said that one of the greatest Shalom Bayis tools is the telephone. Right? He's yelling, she's yelling, back and forth, the phone rings. Hello? Oh. You see, to outsiders, we're very, very polite, very, very careful, and we're very, very guarded in the image that we present. You see, unfortunately, when it comes to Tzelem Elokim, it's a lot easier to treat outsiders, strangers, with respect and honor than it is to treat our own. And there's a certain sort of, you get used to, a certain sort of, you get accustomed to the people you're amongst, and that natural border, that natural protection starts to get weathered down, and you stop acting the way you should. So if you're working on this particular concept, you start from the outside. You deal with people, whether it be the toll booth collector on the highway, whether it be a person that you meet on the street, and you train yourself, this is a Tzelem Elokim, this is someone created in the image of Hashem. I heard Rabbi Miller say a very interesting thing. He says, spend 30 seconds every day training yourself, this is the image of Hashem. Look at any human being, think that. And when you work on outsiders, people are far away, it's a lot easier to adopt that. Then you could bring it closer, you could bring it to your relatives, you could bring it to your spouse, you could maybe bring it to your children, depending on where your children are at. And you could get that concept very clearly, this is a Tzelem Elokim. But it's quite the opposite on the V'ahavta Racha Kamocha. You know, there's a pshat I once heard, and I believe it's actually correct. We wish people the following. Should be zochet the gadla l'torah chuppah l'maisim tovim. You ever hear the expression of the bris? You should bring him to Torah chuppah maisim tovim. What does that mean? He doesn't do maisim tovim until he's married. What happens when he's 13? Why shouldn't he do good acts, good deeds then? And my friends, the answer really is quite simple, and that is, if you've ever spoken to a teenage boy, they are extremely, extremely self-centered, and I hate to be very blunt about it, extremely selfish. The world exists in my honor. The world is me, and this is where it ends. And if I have a friend, maybe push comes to shove, I'll do a little bit. But if it really costs me, it's not going so quick. And it takes a lot of training for a person to learn to be other-centered. One of the great functions of marriage is that teenage boy grows up, hopefully learns to then bond to another human being, care about that another human being, learns to love and be concerned for that other human being, and grows. From that center point, then a person can expand it, can go further, and expand that love outwards. But it starts from inside to outside, the opposite by Tzelem Elokim, that starts from the outside in, but both systems are needed. And if a person wants to really grow in the way they act to others, and the whole area called Ben Adam Chaveru, you need both systems. You have to work on training yourself to be other-centered. You also have to work on training yourself to understand the significance of a human. I think there's a tremendous lesson to learn from these malachim. They recognize fully well that this would cause pain, but how dare I trample on the honor due to this man? There's a man there. How dare I rush forward? I must show him honor because that man is created in the image of Hashem. And if you'd like to understand what Avram was doing, all the acts were a combination of two separate motivations. One was a love to give. When he slaughtered three cows to give the particular type of tongue, even though he was not into tongue, it was because he was a meitiv, but not just a giver. He thought about how to give. When he offered basar v'chalav, he didn't eat it, but he thought his guest did. That's a giver, that's a meitiv. He was emulating Hashem, and he was doing what the human is put on the planet to do, to grow, to accomplish, to be as much like Hashem as a person could be. But there was another dimension to everything that Avraham Avinu was doing. When he ran out from the Pesach Ohel, when he bows down full face in the ground, and he says, please do not pass your Eved, the wealthy Avraham Avinu, the famous Avraham Avinu, the very, very respected man, bows down and says, please don't pass your servant. What he was doing was appreciating who these people were. These are humans, created in the image of Hashem, albeit not the Chashuv. They worship the sand upon which they walk. Hence he asks them to wash their feet. But that's a human being. And the lowliest of human beings is created in the image of Hashem. Therefore it's incumbent upon me to treat them with honor. And both of these were the driving forces. And for a person to grow, you have to use both engines. Both Haftaracha Kamocha, training yourself to love Chesed, to give. And also training yourself in respect. At the end of the day, training yourself in respect is probably easier, may well go further, because it doesn't demand as much against the nature of the human. I would like to close with a story that, again, happened this very Shabbos. I was at the offer of my, I'm sorry, at the Shev Brachas of my sister-in-law, and I sat at the table with Shalom Kamenetsky. Shalom Kamenetsky is one of the up-and-coming Rosh Hashivas. He's now, he's the son of Rosh Shmuel Kamenetsky. He is a Rosh Hashiva now in Philadelphia Yeshiva, one of the future Gedolim of the Klai Yisrael. At the table, he told over the following story, but first a word of introduction. Rosh Shmuel and Rosh Elia Svei are the co-Rosh Hashivas of Philadelphia Yeshiva. Rosh Shalom grew up, obviously, in Philly, and Rosh Elia was effectively almost like an uncle to Rosh Shalom. In the Yeshiva, very often on Yom Tovim, there was a person who came by who was called Ploni. Ploni was an alcoholic, homeless, bum, who not only never showered, he wore a bag and apparently had a serious malfunction and stunk incredibly. He literally was filled with urine, whatever, horrible smell. One of the only places that wouldn't kick him out was the yeshiva. Hence, he would come somewhat regularly. And Reb Shalom said as follows. He was 13 years old, and he was very proud because he just got a Sefer Torah. They gave him a Sefer Torah, and they're doing a kufas the first time he had it. And then he takes the Sefer Torah, and he starts going around. And as he's going around, he passes right by Ploni, and he can't help it, but he like winces, makes a face. He said he got a slap in the face. Rav Elia's face slapped him in the face and said, holding a Sefer Torah, you mach a krum upon him, you make a crooked face holding a Sefer Torah. He bragged, Rav Shalom, I was zocha to a pachim punim from Rav Elia. And after he said that, I said, almost immediately, I said, do I have rishus to tell over the story? Do I have permission to tell over the story? And he said as follows, you have permission to tell over the story as long as you say that a lesson was learned. And now, my friends, I want to share with you what that lesson is. Do you understand what Rav Elia's face saw? A 13-year-old kid, a little kid, made a face because it was a human being who smelled, and the smell was real and it was powerful. And by the way, I doubt Ploni really noticed it or not. He was a wino, he was a homeless person, happy to be anywhere, but what Rav Elia's face saw was a human being. You're holding a Sefer Torah and you make a face at a human being, a chutzpah. He felt that he had to give a patch and put him a slap, because how could you do that? And he taught this effect Shalom a lesson that Rav Shalom remembers now that he's a grandfather, and that lesson is what a human being is. Not the politically powerful, not the wealthy and mighty, a human being created in the image of Hashem. And my friends, that lesson is a very powerful lesson. When Hashem created the human in the image of Hashem, that's the destiny of a human. By dint of being created, there's a tremendous amount of honor due. That is one of the most powerful forces to cause us to be, act appropriately. And if a person focuses on that, a person grows and accomplishes. May Hashem grant us wisdom, understanding, and ability to put this into practice.
You've been listening to The Shmooze, presented by Teferis B'nai Torah. For more information on The Shmooze, please visit us at www.theshmooze.com, where you can download all the Shmoozing free of charge, as well as view source sheets and address questions or comments on this or any other Shmooze. The Shmooze is completely funded by private donations. We need your help to continue our work. All donations are tax deductible and count as miser. Please help us help others by calling 866-613-TORAH. That's 866-613-TORAH. Or you can make your donation right on the web at www.theschmooze.com.